Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very foundation of Christianity. It is one of the most fundamental doctrines and convictions of the church. The Bible identifies Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of humanity. And thank God, he truly is risen. While on earth, God empowered Jesus with the ability to do miracles to prove to people who he really was. In fact, Jesus said in John 10:38, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works that I have done. They prove who I am. And God wants to know who you believe Jesus really is. Because you must personally decide for yourselves who Jesus is. For what you believe and then your response will determine your eternal future. We are talking about things today that determine life, our destiny, and our eternity. You know, Jesus, his death was public. The crowd, including his enemies, saw him on that cross. And they saw him die. But he rose again, just like he said. Now, you weren't there, but we take the word of God and we take history to verify the fact that he is risen. Jesus told them what was going to happen. His disciples, not only his disciples, but all of the people in Mark 9:31. Listen to what he says. And at this point, he's talking to his disciples. It says, Jesus taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after they kill him, he will rise on the third day. And he said this while he was on earth over and over and over and over again. So it should not have been a shock or a surprise to anyone. Now, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to Mary, and then he sent a message to his own disciples to meet him in Galilee. But they did not believe he actually rose from the dead. Do you know today there are still people who refuse to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Let me tell you something. Anything that Jesus says, you can believe it. Because he keeps his word. In Mark 16:9, it says, after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person he saw or who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. According to a recent national survey poll, nearly 70% of Americans believe that Jesus rose from the dead. The Apostle Paul, when he was testifying before King Agrippa, he stated in Acts 26:8, why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? God is the creator of the universe. He can raise the dead. And he raised his son, Jesus Christ. Let me say this, folks, because we don't talk about the resurrection every service. However, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be no Christianity in the world. It would not exist. In fact, Paul wrote, our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain without the resurrection. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. Thank God there was a resurrection. Somebody say amen. He went on to say, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is a historic fact proven by the message of the Gospels, the testimony of witnesses, and the conversion of Paul himself. One great proof of the resurrection was that the Jewish leaders made sure that Pilate would secure Jesus' tomb so it was impossible to steal the body. That became a proof that he rose. The Pharisees and the elders, remembering that Jesus had said that he would rise on the third day, they went to the governor. This is found in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 63. They said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. And this deception will be worse than the first. So Pilate answered, take a guard, go make the tomb as secure as you know how. Verse 66 says, so they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Now, some engineers, considering the type of stone used in the time of Jesus, calculated that the size needed to be to roll a stone in front of a 4.5 to 5 foot doorway would have to be at least 1.5 to 2 tons. Manuscripts in the Cambridge Library in England making reference to Christ's burial stated, and when Jesus was laid there, he, Joseph, put against the tomb a stone which 20 men could not roll away. The Bible also talks about the fact that the tomb was sealed. An official Roman seal was placed on the stone, and this seal on Jesus' tomb was a public testimony that his body was actually there. In addition, because the seal was a Roman seal, it verified the fact that his body was protected from vandals by nothing less than the Roman Empire. Nobody was getting into that tomb, and nobody could come out of that tomb. Well, guess what? When the resurrection occurred, the religious leaders were frantic. And guess what lie they devised? The very one that they said we will avoid by doing all of this security. They lied and said the apostles came and stole the body. That is enough proof that Jesus rose from the dead. In Matthew 28:11, it addresses this. Listen to what it says. The guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. What had happened? An angel came. They were frightened. They fell down as dead men. The angel rolled away the stone and Jesus walked out. They came and they told the religious leaders what happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave large sums of money to the soldiers to lie, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you and everything will be all right. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Let me give you a second proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There were so many witnesses who saw him after he rose from the dead. You know, there are still skeptics, however, who say, how do you know he really rose from the dead? Well, the testimony of history and law states, when an event takes place in history and there are enough people alive who are eyewitnesses and one is able to verify its validity, it is considered historical fact based upon circumstantial evidence. So let's enter the courtroom of history and listen to eyewitnesses who saw Jesus alive. Number one, we're calling Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, she thought she was talking to a gardener at Jesus's tomb. We find this in John chapter 20 and verse 15. Jesus asked her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" So she thought she was talking to the gardener and she said, "Sir, if you've taken his body away, tell me, where have you put him? I'll go get him. I will fetch him. I will fetch him away." And Jesus said, "Mary." And she turned around and she said, "Master, you're alive." Witnesses 2 and 3 are two of Jesus's followers. Their names were Cleophas and Simon. This is found in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. Two of Jesus's followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. And suddenly Jesus himself came alongside and joined them. And they were talking about the crucifixion and how the body of Jesus was now missing. They were all upset and they didn't know what to do. So Jesus, this is found in Luke chapter 24 and 27. So Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. And when he broke it, he gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized it was him. And at that same moment, he disappeared. Let me give you number four witness. The fourth witness was Thomas, his disciple. You remember this. We still call him today Doubting Thomas. Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail prints in his hands or in his sides, I will not believe Jesus rose from the dead." Thomas was not present at Jesus's first meeting with his disciples. How many things we miss by being absent from our church services? It's just an aside. Thomas stated, "Except I see, I will not believe." He has many twins today. Actually, his name was called Didymus, means the twin. There's a lot of people in church who still don't believe everything the Bible says, believe it or not. In John 20 and 26, it says, "After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. So Jesus came, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst of them and said, 'Peace be to you.'" Can you imagine? We see Jesus every time he shows up. He just shows up. He doesn't come through the door. He just shows up. And that's why he says, "Be at peace. Don't be afraid. It's just me." And how many of you would say, "Yes, Lord, it's good to see you again"? I think you might be a little nervous too by him just showing up like that. And then he looked straight at Thomas and he said, "Okay, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it in my side and do not be unbelieving, but believing this time." And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus chastised him for not believing that he had risen. And he told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Folks, this is so important because one of the most important factors that govern your ability to receive from God is your faith. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 11 and 23. He said, "I can guarantee this truth. This is what will be done for someone who doesn't doubt, but believes what he says will happen. He can say, and it will be done for him." That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received whatever you pray for, and it shall be yours. That is so spiritual. We all grew up learning that only believe what you see. And God says, "If you believe it, I'll show it to you."
Thanks for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We hope you're enjoying today's message. Now here's Pastor Steve with an invitation for you.
Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Steve. I want to invite you to our Good Friday Candlelight Communion Service, April 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Our annual Good Friday service is one where the presence of God is so real. Many people are healed. Many receive a personal word from the Lord as well. You won't want to miss this special service. Please consider joining us on Sunday for our Easter Resurrection service as well.
Come and be with us April 3rd for our Good Friday Candlelight Communion service. Then, join us Easter Sunday at 10 a.m. for a special service as we celebrate together. The church is located in the heart of the Metroplex at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. You can get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now, let's get back into today's message.
Not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but someday every one of us who believe in him as personal Savior and Lord, we will rise from the dead as well. And our spirit will join our bodies, our renewed bodies, once again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof that one day your body and your spirit will be reunited. The resurrection of Jesus Christ distinguishes him from every other religious leader. And there's a lot of different religions. But Muhammad is dead. He died 632 AD. Buddha died 400 BC. Joseph Smith, the Mormon founder, he died 1844. Mrs. Eddy of Christian Science is dead. She died 1910. Charles Russell, Jehovah's Witness founder, he died 1916. You can go to the place where they're buried and you'll still find them in the grave. However, folks, Jesus is alive. You can go to where they buried him and there's nobody in the tomb. Jesus is alive. There's an empty tomb that tells us our Savior lives. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is conclusive evidence of his deity. He is the Son of God. He is the only Savior of the world. In fact, the Bible tells us in Acts 4 and 12, Jesus is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power in the world that has been given to save people. We must be saved through him alone. Now, as I already stated, your eternal destiny depends upon who you believe Jesus Christ really is, and then your response. The Bible tells us in a verse most of us know, John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18 goes on to say, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son, our Savior. I want to read something from the history books. Josephus, a Jewish historian writing at the close of the first century, stated, Jesus, the wise, if it may be lawful to call him a man, was a doer of wonderful works. He drew to him many Jews and Greeks. And when Pilate condemned him to the cross, those who loved him did not forsake him, for he appeared alive on the third day. Even now, the race of Christians, so named for him, has not died out. This is in the history books. Let me give you some information from a survey. The Center for the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary reported that the number of Christians in the world edged past 2.5 billion in 2019. The current percentage of Christians worldwide is nearly one-third or 31% of the world's population. That's good news, but what about everyone else? What are the consequences of rejecting Jesus? What are the consequences of not believing that he's the Son of God, not believing in his resurrection? One day, every man, woman, boy, and girl will stand before God and Christ to be judged. In Romans chapter 14 and 10, it says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give an account of ourselves to God." And folks, everyone will be judged whether they believed and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, or if they rejected him. And those who accepted him as Savior and obey the Lord, their names will be written in a book of life. Let me take you there in Revelation chapter 20 and 12. It says, "I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books," verse 15. "And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire for eternity." This was a very serious message today that has very serious consequences. For if we reject Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, there is no way we're getting into heaven. Now, people say, "Well, I think God is too great. God is too good to send people to hell." You're absolutely right. We choose where we spend our eternity. See, the choice is really ours. We decide whether we accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and make him our Savior, or we reject it and say, "I just don't believe that." To accept Jesus Christ is to accept heaven, to have your names written in the book of life. But to reject Jesus Christ is to say, "I'm going to hell." What's worse, the Bible says, death and hell are thrown into a lake of fire for eternity. So don't stop at hell. Say, "I'm going to hell, and then I'm going into a lake of fire for eternity." Those are the realities. That's just truth. To reject Jesus Christ means you will spend your eternity in eternal fire without any chance of parole, without any chance of ever getting out. This is your opportunity today to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. This is what the Bible says about that. It says in Romans 10 and 9, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead," there you go, the resurrection, "you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved." Heaven awaits our choice and our decision. Today, I talked about the resurrection. What do you believe?
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is called "The Resurrection of Jesus. What Do You Believe?" Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Lord, it's during this season that we're reminded of the cross, the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. Lord, we thank you that you so loved the world that you sent Jesus, your Son, to be our Savior. And Lord, I pray with the people now that you would save us from every sin, that you would deliver us from whatever is holding us back, from being all that you've called us to be. We ask you, Lord, to help us to live godly lives, not only before you, but before our families, our friends, and even on the job. Help us to remember the cross during this time that Jesus gave his life that we might be free to live for you. Bless your people. Bless every person under the sound of my voice. And help us all to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.